Now, if you know some of this story, you'll know that I did not say it word for word. I did a lot of paraphrasing and making up as I went along. So I encourage you to take the time to go look at John chapter 9. It's the whole chapter. It's the whole story. And see what pieces speak to you. But I will say that John's gospel is quite unique in that it has a pattern. There's a sign, there's dialogue, and then there's commentary. So the sign for today is this blind man who was healed. And then there's a lot of dialogue that happens, people trying to react and see where they fit in the story. And then there's the commentary, which doesn't come until John chapter 10. So if you're going to look at 9, read on to chapter 10, where Jesus goes on to explain that he is the good shepherd, and we are the sheep, and that we hear his voice, which goes back to the blind man hearing the voice of Jesus in the very beginning. So John's gospel is also written to a community that sees itself in this story. Most of the community that John would be writing to are folks that have been kicked out of their church home for proclaiming Jesus as the Messiah. So they can see themselves in the position of the blind man. So this story can offer a lot of hope and regain trust and healing for John's community. So I wonder where we see ourselves in this story. Do we see ourselves as the blind man? Or maybe the man who has now gained his sight? Or maybe one of the Pharisees? Or his terrified parents? Maybe you're one of those neighbors at the pool that didn't recognize him. Or maybe you're just a bystander for all of it, trying to figure it out. Regardless of where you are, the hallmark in John's gospel is that when Jesus comes to the scene, lives change. Everything changes. People listen and look and react differently in this story. We have the Pharisees and the disciples whose first question is about sin. Who sinned, this man or his parents? And did you notice what Jesus did with that? He avoided it altogether. He jumped from their question of sin straight into transformation. The transformation of this whole person in that first sentence. What happens to this blind man reveals God. Did you hear that? So his experience, his encounter with Jesus, how he develops and changes and grows in his story, how he stumbles, like all of us, toward this belief and understanding, not suddenly. We have no idea how long all of this took. There's a lot of walking to the pool, walking to the Pharisees. We have no idea, but it's in a nice little 4-minute story today. But I'm guessing that it was not an easy journey for this man in his course of encounters with Jesus. And did you notice that he could not necessarily describe what happened to him, but only the difference that it made in his life, that God had been revealed? When was the last time that you had a conversation with somebody where you couldn't quite say what is happening, but you knew that God had made a difference? Those are great conversations with people. Some of the best for me were at the restaurant that I worked at in Wimberley when I was serving there as pastor. And I had hired this young man, and he had just gotten to know me as manager, so I had been training him and all of these things, so we had to be working really close together. And somehow, I never told anybody that I was a pastor in the town, because when you say pastor, walls go up. So someone in the restaurant told him, because suddenly after training was over, he avoided me like the plague. He didn't want to talk to me at all, but yet the whole conversation of the behind the scenes in the restaurant, every week they would help me write the sermons. And so he would always listen and maybe interject a story or two on how he had grown up, and we'd come to learn that he had grown up in what he calls a very heavy Christian family, where it was very much be submissive, that there's a right or wrong answer, and that he was always wrong, no matter what. He was always wrong. And so this message kept going through his head, and here we are trying to talk about this grace of God, which can be very gray, no right or wrong, this love of God that is for everyone so graciously and freely given. And so he would try to interject and he would try to share stories on his life and how he has encountered Jesus. And finally, one day he just couldn't put words to it and he said, "My goodness, that must be one of those God things." He didn't use the word goodness. It was a little different, but I didn't think I should say it here. But one of those God things. You can't put words to it, but yet he knew that it made a difference. It was making a difference in this new environment that he was in as a server at a restaurant, a new environment of friends that he had now gained, that somehow his story was changing. Jesus says that he has come into the world to give eyes to see and ears to hear, give blindness to reveal, blindness of those who think that their sight and judgment are perfect. That last verse in this gospel is so unique. Take some time to think and unpack that. Someone said that this story is like the imagery of the statue of Lady Justice, where she's holding the scales of judgment with a blindfold tied tightly around her eyes, reminding us that despite our best intentions of being unbiased, our prejudices all too often affect our judgment. Despite trying to be unbiased, our prejudice will affect our judgment. It definitely happened with those first century religious leaders. They revealed their own sin and their own prejudice, eager to connect sin to physical blindness. And yet Jesus undercuts all of that theory. This blind beggar is shown to have very keen sight and judgment on who and what is really important in life. So I wonder if this challenges us to recognize ways in which we are blind and we can't see and recognize our blindness in ways that we are wrong about the blindness of others. Because it's interesting, for this blind man, before he sees, people just knew him as that blind beggar. And now he sees his life has changed, and no one knows who the heck he is. Often we define those around us in terms of their shortcomings and their challenges. This woman's unemployed. This man is divorced. She's a single mom. He's a high school dropout. She's an alcoholic. He has cancer. She's depressed. The labels can go on and on. And that's how we see people around us. I'm guessing that we have all been labeled with something in our lives, at some point in our lives. For me, that label came when I was on the mission trip to Africa. My size is always a label in culture. And it was especially a label in Africa. Because it became an issue for the men. They said I would never be a good wife because I could not be carried on the handlebars of the bicycle that the man needed to pedal. No one wanted to try. I don't blame them. But that was the category that I would be put into because I would never get married in the African culture. That was a pretty bad thing. And it was all based on this category. So I worked darn hard for those months to prove them wrong. And I spent, you know, I worked harder than probably most of those men with the pickaxes and the shovels and digging those ditches and building those fish ponds just to prove that I can do what needs to be done. Still at the end, you'll never be a good wife. Great. Categories that we are placed in. And I don't think that this practice is limited to others, because we do the same to ourselves. We allow our past setbacks, our disappointments, and our failures shape how we see ourselves. We define ourselves in terms of the problems rather than the possibilities. That's what I was doing. I was defining this as a problem instead of being open to what was happening around me. Because there was later on in the trip that as I'm fighting these men and trying to prove my worth, a little girl after worship, which I think I've told this story before, but a little girl after worship came up to me through an interpreter and needed to tell me how she saw the light of Christ in me. So here I am working darn hard to get out of this label, and all she can see is grace and love. Where do we put ourselves? Where do we allow others to put us? When God is full of the promise of love, full of this, the blind will gain sight, full of seeing and hearing the love and promise of a life changed and transformed. I would guess that we all believe in here that God loves us. But yet too often, we do not believe that God, the Creator, loves us the way we are. Then we are quite lovable. All too often, we miss that point, that we are quite lovable. What would it look like to live in this kind of confidence? Not being preoccupied of what others think of us, or having that constant message of, I can't do that, I'm not good enough, but this message of grace that you are quite lovable, right here, right now. Having this genuine self-confidence in God's word can be life-changing. What will that look like for us to receive it and to share it? Because not only are we quite lovable, but so is everyone around us. No matter where they fit in the story, God's promises are for all, that everyone is lovable. And thanks be to God for that.